I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to see so many of you in the house of the Lord this morning. A very warm welcome to all who come from interstate, or those who come from overseas, or those who might have come from another church. We appreciate your fellowship very much, and we pray that the Lord will grant you a very special blessing this morning as you worship with us. May you find great joy and peace here, and at the conclusion of the worship service, as we said before, we may all be able to say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Now, time passes so very, very quickly. We are almost coming to the end of winter. I almost have to tell you, didn't I tell you so? Yes, because I've been reminding you and reminding myself concerning the fast passage of time. Indeed, time passes by so very, very quickly. And before we know it, the year will have come to an end. And then we will have once again to ask ourselves this pertinent question. What have we done for the Lord in the course of the year, in the year 2017? My dear friends, we still have a few months left for the year. Let us do our very, very best for the Lord for the remaining months of the year. And then prepare ourselves to look forward to the year 2018. And most of all, prepare to look forward to the day when we will see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ face to face. It will be a great day for all of us, for we shall all be seeing Him face to face, and we shall be like Him. And all of us who have done well for Him on the day of reckoning, we will surely be able to hear Him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now this morning my topic is incomparable mountaintop experience. Some years ago I heard about this mountain climber who was a Sydneysider by the name of Susan Fear, who fell to her death into a crevice in one of the mountains of the Himalayas. And she was climbing this mountain, or descending from the mountain called Mount Manaslu, and she fell and she died. Now it wasn't that she was an inexperienced climber, she was a very experienced climber. She climbed Mount Everest and three or four other mountains. And Mount Manaslu is not the highest peak in the world, it's the eighth highest peak in the world. But she fell and she died. And before she climbed that mountain, she was interviewed and asked why she loved to climb. She said she loved to climb because she was very, very keen about the challenge of climbing. She said it was the challenge of climbing that beckoned her to climb. And then she said that the other thing that beckoned her to climb was that, you know, she said the view of the world from the highest point of the world, or from the top of the world, is simply breathtaking. And what she said was virtually quite the same as what other climbers would say. One climber said this: "You've got this incredible landscape. You're on a mountaintop. There are these huge mountains with big glaciers as you look down. And the glaciers drop down through this beech forest directly into the heads of these fjords. And that, yeah, I think that's the most stunning place that I have been up to." And these climbers are all obsessed by their thrills. They are never satisfied. They can never get enough of their thrills, and they are constantly in search of what is known as the next hit of pure, unadulterated fear. That's what they are looking for all the time. So for thrill seekers, the mountaintop experience is overcoming the challenge of climbing, having a breathtaking view of the world, and then having this hit of pure, unadulterated fear. Now the problem with such experiences is that the climbers can never, never get enough of their thrills. They're never satisfied. In the words of one mountain climber, he said this: "After climbing one mountain, I'm in search for the next hit of pure, unadulterated fear." That's what they are looking for all the time, the next thrill. Now this morning I want to talk about the mountaintop experience of three disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will see that their mountaintop experience is absolutely different from the mountaintop experience of these thrill seekers. What they experienced, I mean the three disciples, Peter, James and John, the three inner circle disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, what they experienced was no temporal thrill, but it was something that meant everything to them, not just for now on this earth, but meant everything for them for all eternity. You see, on the mountaintop, they saw the glory of the transfigured Christ. And then they saw the Lord Jesus Christ praying. And then they, on the top of on the mountaintop, they experienced great comfort. And then because of that wonderful experience, they wish that the experience on the mountaintop would continue. So these are the four things that I want to talk about this morning. Now these three disciples, Peter, James, and John, were brought to this mountaintop by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this mountaintop was possibly located in the Galilean region. So we read in Luke chapter 9, in the passage that we read earlier on, Luke chapter 9, verses 29 to 33. I read for you this passage. And as Jesus prayed, he was on the mountaintop with the three disciples. And as Jesus prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. Elias is Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of the decease, of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. In other words, they were talking about the upcoming death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Verse 32, but Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men, Moses and Elijah, that stood with him. And it came to pass, as Moses and Elijah departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. In other words, make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. Peter, as usual, didn't know what he said. His mouth always preceded his mind, so he would speak very, very unthinkingly. Now the disciples saw the Lord Jesus Christ transfigured before them, and with him these two Old Testament saints, Moses and Elijah. Now this mountaintop experience was a glimpse of what is to come in the future. The disciples saw the Lord in his glorified form. We might say the disciples saw the glory of the Lord on this mountaintop. And this is the form that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will assume when he comes again. His raiment was white and was glistering. In other words, it was emitting light, emitting flashes of light, like lightning, you might say. Now that experience was something that was very, very unforgettable to the disciples. Now as far as Peter was concerned, it certainly was something that was very, very unforgettable. Because years after this incident, when Peter was quite an old man, this was what he said when he reflected on this experience that he had on this mountaintop with the Lord Jesus Christ. He never forgot that experience because it was just too memorable to be forgiven and to be forgotten. And so we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. This was what he said. If you would turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. Yes. Peter was defending his teaching concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to assure those whom he spoke to that what he was teaching was not based on some fables, but it was based on truth, something that he saw. He was a witness to the glorified form of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. Peter says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Where did he see this majesty? Of course, on the mountaintop. Verse 17. For Jesus received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Verse 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount," on the Mount of Transfiguration. We heard that voice. We saw the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified form. We saw his majesty. Yes. Now, was there a purpose in the Lord's showing them his majesty? We might ask, why? Why did the Lord say this, show the disciples his majesty? You see, the Lord didn't do anything that was purposeless. He didn't do anything that was wasteful. It was very, very purposeful on the Lord's part to show his majesty to his three disciples. Why? Why did he want to do that? Now, he did that because he wanted to encourage the disciples. You see, the disciples had seen the Lord in his weakness. They saw how he wearied. They saw how he hungered. They saw how he was tired on occasions. Yes, the Lord had to tell them, "You have to understand that I am really the one true living God. I'm going to show you my glorified self." And so on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord showed his glorified form to the three disciples to encourage them. And then you remember 8 days before this incident, that took place on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord had said something to them that was very daunting, a very, very daunting challenge. And the disciples would, I'm sure, really felt that they needed a lot of strength and courage to take up the challenge which the Lord issued to them. And the challenge that the Lord gave to them was simply this: take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. My dear friends, that was something that was very, very challenging. And they needed the encouragement to take up the challenge. And you remember the Lord said this in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 24. This took place 8 days before this incident took place on the Mount of Transfiguration. Luke 9, 23 and 24. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." This was a very, very great challenge, a daunting challenge. You see, remember what we said, a cross bearer was one who was carrying his cross or bearing his cross to the place where he would be executed. In those days, if anybody saw a cross bearer walking along the street, he would realize that this man was going to his death. He was going to be executed. This man didn't have any right at all. He could not say, "I have human rights, I could protest," and so on and so forth. He didn't have any right at all. So is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. A cross bearer. He doesn't have any right anymore. His right is totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. A believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is a cross bearer. He's in fact saying, "I have been crucified. I have been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm dead to self. I'm dead to the world. I'm dead to sin. I don't live to satisfy the lust of my flesh. I don't live to satisfy the lust of my eyes. I do not live to satisfy the pride of my life." He practices self-denial, he practices humility, and he disciplines his mind to think of things that are good, things that are most glorifying to the Lord. Remember, we said that he would be one who would discipline his mind to think of things that are true, honest, just, pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, things that are virtuous, things that are of praise to the one true living God. Yes, that's how he would discipline his mind. To think, you would think on these good things, things that glorify the Lord. And then he disciplines his body to behave or to act in moderation. I'm talking about a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, one who has taken up the challenge to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will discipline his body to act in moderation. He doesn't overeat, he doesn't undereat, he doesn't oversleep, he doesn't undersleep. And then he makes sure that he tries his very best to keep his body in good condition, because he realizes that his body is not his. His body belongs to God's mighty Holy Spirit. His body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit. Now, then a cross bearer is one who is willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is willing to sacrifice. A cross bearer is one who is willing to forsake all to follow the Lord Jesus. As in the case of Peter. Remember what the Lord Peter said to the Lord. Peter said this to the Lord. Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. And that was what Peter did. He had forsaken all. He forsook his nets. He forsook his fishing boats. He forsook his livelihood to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That was sacrifice in following the Lord. Now, because they had taken up the cross and they had been denying themselves, had taken up the cross to follow the Lord daily, they need to be encouraged. And so now they were going to catch a glimpse of what they were going to see in the future. They were going to catch a glimpse of what they would be receiving in the future, something which the Lord had prepared for them. And verse 29 says this, and as Jesus prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. The Lord was transfigured before them. They saw him in his majesty. That must be very encouraging to the disciples. And they also saw Elijah, and they also saw Moses, two great Old Testament saints. And verse 30 says, and behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory. You see, they also appeared in their glorified form and spake of his decease. They were talking about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, which Jesus should accomplish in Jerusalem. Now, this great sight the disciples saw must have encouraged them tremendously. Yes, remember, they were given this challenge. All the time up to that time, they saw Jesus in his weakness. But now, they saw the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified form. And then they saw these two Old Testament saints in their glorified form. Now, this sight that they saw surely must have encouraged them very, very much. True, they were to deny themselves. True, they were to take up the cross daily to follow the Lord Jesus. True, they were to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. True, they were to share in the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they would have come to this conclusion. One day, they would be glorified. They would be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I do not know whether it was on the mountaintop that they realized the truth of this great salvation of theirs, that one day they will be like the Lord Jesus Christ, or it was sometime later. I do not know when. But I'm absolutely certain that later on, when these disciples went out to minister the gospel and went out to preach, and when they suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ, they would be very, very encouraged. Every time they look back to the time that they had with the Lord on the mountaintop, they would have been very, very encouraged. And then they would possibly be saying to themselves, it is worth it all. Yes, when we see Jesus Christ face to face, because when we see him face to face, we shall be like him. All lives, tribulations, temptations will be so small compared to the great glory that we are going to receive in the future. Now, we need this mountaintop experience too. Yes, not only do the disciples need this mountaintop experience, but we need this mountaintop experience too. The question is, can we have this mountaintop experience of seeing the glory of the Lord and be encouraged like the disciples were encouraged? Can we? Can we have this experience? What do you think? The answer is yes, of course. We do not have to go to the Holy Land and then to climb up one of these mountains and to have this experience on the mountaintop. No, my dear friends, to have this mountaintop experience, the real question that we really have to ask is, how close are we living to the Lord Jesus Christ? That is fundamental. You see, the three disciples were not the other disciples. They were the three inner circle disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, James, and John. The three inner circle disciples. And they were brought by the Lord to the mountaintop. And when they were there, who were there? They and the Lord with them. You understand? So you see how close they were with the Lord. And the question for us is, how may we draw close to the Lord? The answer is this, friends. To draw close to the Lord, we must enter into the closet of our prayer room. That's when we ourselves personally are with the Lord, and the Lord is with us. I with the Lord, and the Lord with me. Yes, and that is what we must be doing every day, to draw close to the Lord, so that we may have this mountaintop experience, just as the disciples had when they were on the mountaintop with the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. All else must be excluded when we are in this closet with the Lord. It must only be the Lord and me with the Lord. And then the question that we want to ask, of course, is how may we see the glory of the Lord? Sure, we are not able to see the Lord with our naked eyes, just as the disciples could see the Lord with the naked eyes. But friends, we may be able to see the glory of the Lord with eyes of faith as we read God's Word. As we read God's Word, which reveals the Lord Jesus Christ to us, by the grace of God, we may be able to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in the sacred pages of His Word. Now, Dr. Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, says in verse 29, as Jesus prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glistering. My dear friends, these are not just words. Not just words. When we read these words, we must read these words with eyes of faith. Yes, the disciples saw the Lord Jesus Christ with their naked eyes. But when we read these words, we must read these words and see the Lord Jesus Christ and His glory with eyes of faith. Matthew 17:2 says the same thing. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. Again, when we read these words, we must understand they are not just words. We must read these words with eyes of faith. And then when we read the Gospel of John, there is an account of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ appearing to His disciples on the first Sunday on which the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead. They met behind closed doors. So how did the Lord Jesus Christ enter into the room? He entered through the walls, of course, so His body could pass through solid walls. My dear friends, let us, when we read that, see the Lord Jesus Christ with eyes of faith. As we read, as we said, we must look, see the Lord Jesus Christ with eyes of faith. And let us thank Him for this great and blessed hope. And as we read, we must thank Him for this great and blessed hope that one day, we will see Him face to face and shall be like Him. Now the question I want to pose next is this. Now, who do you think will have the greater blessing? Those who see the Lord Jesus Christ with eyes, with their naked eyes and believe, or we who see the Lord Jesus Christ and His glory with eyes of faith and we believe? Who receives the greater glory? Of course we, right? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has said so. You remember, on the first Sunday on which the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead, He appeared to His disciples. There were 10 of them. Judas had already betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ and had gone to commit suicide. And then there was the Thomas. Thomas was not present with the rest of the disciples. So the 10 disciples saw the risen Lord. And then they told Thomas, we saw the risen Lord. Thomas said, no, I can't believe. Except I used my finger to touch the nail prints in His hand, and except I touched thrust my hand into His wounded side, I will not believe. And then the next Lord's Day, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to the disciples, and this time Thomas was with them. And the Lord said unto Thomas, in John 20:29, the Lord said to Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So, my dear friends, you were right. Yes, we receive the greater blessing than those who saw the Lord Jesus Christ with their naked eyes and they believe. We see Him with eyes of faith. My dear friends, we receive the greater blessing. So, the mountaintop experience of disciples was to see the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory and His majesty, and then be encouraged by what they saw, that one day they will put on a glorified body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the mountaintop experience. And we too may have our mountaintop experience. We see the Lord Jesus Christ in the closet of our prayer room, and we see Him with eyes of faith. We see Him when we read the Word of God. Yes, we read the Word with faith, and we see the glory of the Lord through the sacred pages. And we'll be very, very blessed, and we will be very, very encouraged. That is our mountaintop experience. Now, the next mountaintop experience of the disciple was this. They saw the Lord praying. They saw Him praying. Look at verse 28 and verse 29. And it came to pass, Luke 9, and it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, He took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glistering. You see, He brought them up to the mountaintop to pray, and as he prayed. The mountaintop experience must surely have taught the disciples that they needed to pray like the Lord Jesus Christ prayed before they undertook anything for the Lord. The Lord was always prayed before He went into any kind of service for the Heavenly Father. Yes, remember the time when He entered, started His ministry at His baptism. What did He do? My dear friends, we always forget that part. We only see the part that He was baptized and then the dove came down and so forth. Yes, but we forget one part. We forget to read, or we don't see that part. And that part was that He prayed. If you look at Luke chapter 3 verses 21, 22 very quickly with me, you'll notice that He prayed. Luke chapter 3 verses 21 and 22. 3, 21, 22. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, and, you see, praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Him, and a voice came down from heaven which said, Thou art My beloved Son, in Thee I am well pleased. You see, He prayed, right? Before He entered into His ministry or started His ministry, He prayed. And then you will remember that before He went to the cross of Calvary, He entered into the Garden of Gethsemane. And what did He do there? My dear friends, He prayed before He went to the cross. We read in Luke 22, verses 41 to 44. If you could, very quickly turn with me also to Luke 22, 41 to 44. And I read very quickly for you this passage. Luke 22, 41 to 44. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. You see, He prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him. And being in an agony, He prayed more earnestly. And His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He prayed. And now as He entered into this great work of being transfigured before His disciples, He prayed. Friends, let this mountaintop prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ be the pattern for all of us. Yes, before we engage in anything, particularly something that is big in our life, all right? Particularly, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be praying with regard to small things, but big things in particular, we must pray, such as going into a business venture, such as starting a job or accepting a job, such as going into a course of study, such as entering into a marriage relationship. My dear friends, we must pray. We must seek the will of the Lord. And every time we go down on our knees to pray, let us never forget to pray like the way the Lord did. The Lord said, not My will, but may Your will be done. And that's exactly what we must be doing. Pray, asking for the Lord to do His will in our life. Yes, I read, we mustn't go ahead of the Lord or fall behind the Lord. I read of the case of this a jet that was doing a firing exercise. And the pilot was told very, very clearly that when the missile was fired, the plane should not be accelerated. But the pilot didn't follow instruction. When the missile was fired, he accelerated his plane. The result was disastrous because the jet plane apparently overtook the missile and then blew up. Yes. We get into serious trouble, my dear friends, when we go ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like the plane overtaking the missile that it has fired, blowing itself up. So, in many things, for example, in this matter of going into missions, let us pray diligently, let us not go ahead of the Lord, and let us not fall behind the Lord in anything, my dear friends. If we fall behind the Lord, we may just miss out on the great opportunities that the Lord has for us. If we go ahead of Him, the consequence could be disastrous. So let us always be praying and seek the will of the Lord. Now, the next mountain top experience they had was this. They experienced comfort. They saw two great saints from the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. Verse 30. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now remember, Moses had died already, something like 1,500 or 600 years before this event took place on Mount Transfiguration. So he had died. His body was not found, that's true, but he died. The word of God clearly said that, says that. Now then, in the case of Elijah, Elijah didn't die, but Elijah was taken up by a whirlwind in a fiery chariot. Yes, something like 700 or 900 years before this event took place on Mount Transfiguration. So, Moses died, and then, whereas in the case of Elijah, he did not die. He was taken up into heaven in a fiery chariot by a whirlwind. Now, some commentators, or many commentators, interpret this appearance of these two great saints of the Old Testament in this manner. They said that Moses represented the laws, and Jesus came to fulfill the laws. That's why Moses appeared on Mount Transfiguration. And in the case of Elijah, Elijah was a prophet. He was representative of the prophets, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill prophecies, and therefore Elijah appeared with the Lord Jesus Christ on Mount Transfiguration. That's the interpretation of many commentators. But I prefer another interpretation, and I think this one is right. You see, I would rather agree with these commentators who say that both Moses and Elijah were the types representative of the saints when Jesus comes again. You see, as I said, Moses died, although his body was not found. Now, he would be representative of those saints who had died in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, they will be resurrected from the grave, just like Moses was resurrected from the grave. You see? Now then, in the case of Elijah, he didn't die. He was taken up by a whirlwind in a fiery chariot. Now, Elijah will be representative of the saints who are still alive when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And they will be raptured. They will be taken up to be with the Lord in the air. Now, I prefer to take the second view than the first view. Now, the first view is not wrong. By the way, I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's just that I prefer the second view. Now, surely the three disciples must have found great comfort seeing these two great saints. Yes, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ would not die. They would live forever and ever. When the truth of their salvation became very, very clear to the disciples, they would have understood that if they die in the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord returns, they would be resurrected. If they were alive at that time when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, then they would be raptured, they would be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. Now, this encounter of these three disciples with the two great saints, Moses and Elijah, must surely bring this great comfort to us. If we die in Jesus, we will be resurrected when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And if we are alive at that time when He returns, we will be raptured. The mountaintop experience must have spurred the disciples in their service for the Lord. Yes, later on after the Lord Jesus Christ ascended up to heaven. They would be reminded all the time, and they had this great hope. They will either be raptured or they will be resurrected. Let this truth, my dear friends, encourage us in our service for the Lord. Let the words of the great apostle Paul encourage us as we reflect on this mountaintop experience of these three disciples when they met with these two saints, Moses and Elijah. The apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." In the Lord. Now the next mountaintop experience of these disciples is the desire of tarrying on the mountaintop. In other words, they just could not forsake that experience. They say, we want to be here on the mountaintop. And so Peter says, and it came to pass as Moses and Elijah departed from the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter said unto Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud, as Moses and Elijah entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." The wonderful sight of the transfigured Lord and the glory of the two Old Testament saints, Moses and Elijah, was just too good to be left behind. "Master," Peter said, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us build you three, each one a tent. One for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Yes, who needs to live in a tent? Yes, Moses and Elijah surely needed not to be living in a tent. They have their heavenly home to go to. And what great glory and beauty the three disciples saw. Yes, it was heavenly beauty and glorious beauty. Now, when Paul was caught up into the third heavens, remember the word of God says that Paul heard things that were unspeakable. And here the disciples saw things that were too glorious for them to part with. They just wanted to be there and they didn't want to leave. Then came this heavenly voice out of the cloud. "This is my beloved Son, hear him." God's only begotten Son still had plenty of work to do. He still was going to the cross of Calvary to shed his precious blood for us, to die on the cross of Calvary. He still had work to do. He could not remain on the mountaintop. And as for Peter and James and John, the Lord was trying to tell them, you know, you have plenty of work to do ahead of you. You cannot be staying on this mountaintop. You need to go down to the valley. Yes, you will have to carry the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. You shall be witnesses unto me. Friends, it is vitally important that we have this mountaintop experience, to have this sweet communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, because we need encouragement, yes? And it is really wonderful to have a mountaintop experience, the kind of experience that we have at a Bible camp, right? We always wish that the Bible camp will go on and on and on. It's such a wonderful time to have at a Bible camp. But friends, we cannot be there all the time. We need to come down to the valley because there is so much work for us to do down in the valley. We still have the work of bringing the gospel to the unsaved. There are so many people out there who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It will be very selfish of us if we want to continue to have the mountaintop experience to continue. Friends, we need to have the mountaintop experience through. We need to encourage ourselves, but there's great work for us to do down in the valley. But this mountaintop experience, my dear friends, let us be very encouraged. One day will be ours forever and ever and ever when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, when we see him face to face, when we are caught up to be with him in the air. It will be ours forever and ever. And then forever we will see the Lord in his white raiment, we'll see that his, we'll see him in his white raiment and in his white glistering raiment. So what a glorious experience these three disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ had. They saw the glorified Lord on the mountaintop, and they realized that one day they will be like him. They would be like him. And they were very, very encouraged for sure when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified form. And likewise, my dear friends, we need to be encouraged, and we can have our mountaintop experience also in the quiet of our prayer room. And then when we read God's word, if we read it with eyes of faith, we will also be able to see the glory of the Lord. We will have our mountaintop experience, and we too will be encouraged. Then let us learn from the Lord with regards to his praying on the mountaintop. Let it be our pattern. Each time we need to go into something, any service for the Lord, each time we need to enter into any service for the Lord, let us be sure that we are praying so that we may be able to do his will as he wants us to do. Then the disciples saw the two great Old Testament saints, Moses and Elijah, in their glory. The message was clear. Yes, those who die in the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord returns, they will be resurrected. And those who are alive when the Lord Jesus Christ returns will be raptured. Then believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will live forever and ever. Yes, we can have this great hope, just as the disciples had. And finally, the experience, glorious as it was, needed to be forsaken. They could not be on the mountaintop all the time. Likewise, we love to have our mountaintop experience. We need to have our mountaintop experience to be encouraged. But friends, let us remember that we have this great work for us to do down in the valley. There are still so many out there who need the gospel. We need to be the witnesses that the Lord wants us to be, not so much in the mountaintop, yes, but down in the valley. Amen. Let us pray.